Now on the Business Radio X Network, just Ask the Gals, social media solutions and education. This is a show that has got an enormous amount of attention, Ask the Gals, usually hosted by Jessica Badowski. But today it's special. I'm interviewing her. Hello, my name is Mark Bishop and welcome. And Two Busy Gals is a very, very interesting company who have a podcast called Ask the Gals. Jessica Badowski is the owner and founder of Tucson-based Two Busy Gals. Welcome, Jessica.
Oh, thanks, Mark. I'm so glad that we get to do this interview. Instead of me interviewing guests, people will get the whole story and be kind.
I will be very kind. Look, okay. After 20 years in nonprofit management, a lot of people have said to me, I'd love to know more about this, Jessica Badowski. She's quite interesting to listen to and so on. So that's why we're doing this. So after 20 years in nonprofit management and anti-poverty social work, you must have a heart of gold, you decided to break out and start your own business. So what was the attraction then?
So I was kind of a do-gooder for a long time. I was really passionate about the work that I did. But I have a chronic health condition. And at the point I decided to start the company, I realized that it was not practical. I'm the kind of person where if I can't give my all to something, I'm not just going to come in it, you know, and do a 9-to-5 and say, hey, I did my 9-to-5, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And the management positions I had just required traveling extensively across the country. They also required traveling weekly around an entire state. I was the deputy director of an association of organizations that were local.
Yeah.
And it was brutal. I mean, it just had gotten to the point where I was wrecking myself. And actually, at the time, my doctor, I kept going in saying, okay, so give me something. I joke around about Judy Garland. It's not funny, but people used to get pills from their doctors to be able to do things, right? Elvis, sure. Judy Garland, you know, et cetera. Yeah. And I asked my doctor, do you know there's something you can give me so I can keep doing this? And she was like, no, there's not. You've got to find other employment, another job, something else.
Well, your resume, which I'm not going to go through now because it's too lengthy, too long, too involved, and very, very well earned, I may say, and college the whole bit. But in 2008, it became quickly apparent to you that the need for high-quality education and coaching social media services was exploding. So this maybe was meant to be? Not so much we want to be ill to do it, but...
No, but so at the time, my sister has some chronic health things, different things than I do. And the first year we were in business...
What's the matter with you lot? Tell me.
I don't know.
We're is it mom and dad? Or...
I don't know. We there's a really funny joke about that, but... Okay. Yeah, we used to say our parents were in some experimental. They were in an experimental test in the 60s, and that's why their kids turned out this way. They weren't, but they were sort of mortified that we tell people
love
that.
Love you, mom and dad. Love you. Don't worry.
I do. We do. They listen. So, yeah, of course. Well, basically, when we started, we didn't say, hey, let's become social media consultants. I mean, think 2008. Instagram doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Twitter is out there. LinkedIn is out there, but it's only being used with people with their resumes to get jobs. Mm-hmm. Facebook is out there, but there's no business access. There's no way to use it as a business. So it's not like we said, hey, we're tech people. We're going to go do this. Hey, we're marketing people. Let's jump on the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We actually were running just small level businesses. My sister sold Mary Kay. We went to Pink Cadillac School, we like to say. I was doing jewelry parties. People may remember 2008 was not a great year to leave a nice job with retirement and health benefits because the whole economy went flippity-floppity, right?
Well, this is it. But you had a health condition to also consider.
Exactly.
So I admire you because of this, because a lot of people, you know, it's all very well to have degrees and be top dog and this and that and work and have your health and everything's great in life and you're working in these great corporate roles. Life changes. Things change. If you lose your health, sometimes you have to think about, gee, I've got to find a way to bring it back in. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or
and some quality of life.
And some quality of life. Add to that. So
right. Yeah.
I think it was after 3 years of working with national partners in marketing and social media, Two Busy Gals began developing its own roster of clients.
Exactly. So the first 6 or 9 months we were in business, we were, you know, you schlep your stuff around, right? This is the schlepping season, right? Everybody's got a craft fair and a fundraiser. And we were like, what the heck are we doing? Are we crazy? You know, we've got baskets of product wrapped beautifully, and we can sell them out of the trunk of our car. I kid you not, you know,
yeah.
We, you name it, we did it. You know, we were somewhere. Great training. Well, it was great training to say, can you talk about the product? Can you talk to strangers? Mm-hmm. Can you convince someone to buy it?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
But people started saying, well, you use Facebook. How do you use Facebook for this? And we were using Twitter really to research best business practices. We were following business leaders, so we were using it as a research tool.
Interesting.
And people said, well, could you help us use it for business? So that whole nonprofit career, yada, yada, I trained, I wrote curriculum. That's what I did, right? Pick a topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, well, you know how to train. Everybody says you know how to talk. Yak, yak. You know, Mark and I are good talkers. We never meet strangers. And so I thought, well, people invited us to speak at some women's groups, networking groups, not big like chambers, more small groups. And they said, wow, we could really use your help. So we went to a national conference, and at the national conference were some of these major marketing companies. And they were hiring people on their rosters, right?
Okay.
So they contractors. They weren't hiring employees, but contractors. And we got to write the content and manage campaigns for large, large businesses, people in the out there listening to us would recognize. Unfortunately, half of them are under NDA contracts, which is what always happens when you work for another marketing company.
Mm-hmm.
But the one I can say, and people can figure out, is if they've ever been to Disneyland, there's this lovely shop where you can get soup in a bread bowl, and the bread bowl looks like Mickey.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you who it is, but
in Disneyland.
If you've been to Disneyland, you'll know about them, and they're all up and down the West Coast. And for about 18 months, every tweet, every Facebook post, every picture, every piece of content for their social media campaigns came out of our offices.
That's pretty cool.
It was really cool.
That was then. We're talking 2008. Let's jump into now, all right? What about current clientele now? Or clientele, whichever way you like to pronounce it.
Clientele sounds very posh. This is the one thing I think.
I guess it ranges quite a bit, right?
It ranges too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually am announcing some stuff here. Breaking news. People don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a mentor on and off for about 5 years in Tucson. He primarily invests in biotech industries, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But at one point he pulled me into a company that was in the process of launch. They were in beta. They'd had their first round of funding to do marketing. And so we struck up a friendship there. And every time I would meet with him, he'd say, I don't know who to refer you to because I feel like you're just too broad. Like, I meet CEOs and I'm like, oh, she does social media. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It's hard to explain sometimes, I know.
Yeah.
That.
So what we know with our clientele, so just to give you some examples, we do have international clientele. We've worked with a citrus grower and distribution company. The grower's on the Mexican side. The distribution is down in Nogales.
Mm-hmm.
We work on with a really lovely company. I believe she's an expat who lives in Morocco. A wonderful American girl that her and her sister started a company, Mushmina.
Oh, I think I've seen that. That's the artisan e-commerce.
Beautiful stuff. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Gorgeous.
From Morocco. Lovely.
Yes.
Is the local manufacturing company, is that the one with the fruit?
The other local manufacturing company actually is quite sizable here in Tucson, and they produce temporary tattoos and stickers, and the manufacturing plant's actually here in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
So we've done that. We've worked with nonprofits, of course. But what we're finding is we really want to find something where people say, instead of just, oh, social media, you talk to two busy gals, that we're really hitting some targeted industries. So we have some pilot tests right now.
Mm-hmm.
One is with medical marijuana dispensaries,
mm-hmm.
which have compliance issues. Because medical marijuana is not ubiquitous across the country.
That's right.
The marketing platforms, like you can't market it on Facebook. You can have an account, but you can't ever pay for any advertising.
And yet you see all the CBD. The oils.
Exactly.
And totally flip on that.
Right.
I mean, it's gone nuts on
It's gone nuts on
social
that.
Media.
Absolutely.
You know? And it varies because I know a lot of people are getting no results out of it. And I know some are getting amazing
results out of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's,
someone asked me and they said, well, did you try it? And I said, yeah. And they said, did it work? I said, yeah, but not any better, quicker, or different than an ibuprofen. Mm. And so to pay $50 for this jar of lotion or $299 for some ibuprofen, you know. For me, I'm getting the same result. I know other people who it has been life changing for them, and that's why I'm a big proponent of try stuff and see if it improves your life.
You never
know.
Who's the best selling author? You do.
So the best-selling author that we have, she has 2 New York Times bestsellers. She's a business coach. So she's based in San Francisco.
Okay.
And her company works with the C-suite, so CEOs of Fortune 200 companies.
So you're flexible enough to where your clients don't have to be right here in Tucson.
No.
They can be all over the place.
They can be all over the place. In fact, the business started in Ohio, and we had clients all over the country. And then we moved the business to Arizona. It took us about 18 months to figure out Tucson, like the market here, how to penetrate the market here.
Mm-hmm.
But we're pretty established now. We do have people, they just come up and they say, I asked who I was supposed to get, and everybody says it's you.
Well, two busy gals, very active in the local Tucson business community. Just as a bit of an idea, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Currently, you're working with legacy partners of Local First Arizona, strategic partners with the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Marana Chamber of Commerce, Vail Chamber of Commerce, charity, volunteer work has been a passion of yours, and really, it's a central part, isn't it? It seems to be of two busy girls of the business model.
Absolutely.
Why is that, do you think? What is it that pulls you into that?
So when we started our business, we made some good decisions and some bad decisions, right? Everybody does. One of the challenges was because we didn't believe in ourselves, I can be frank about that. We just didn't believe in ourselves. So you would go to things and they would bring in someone and they'd say, hi, I'm the Purple Wizard coach and I've got this Purple Wizard sales, you know, system. And, you know, if you come for the next piece is $100 and then you go to the next training, it's $100. And they say, well, but if you really want to work with me for 4 months, it's $2,000, it's $3,000. And we didn't have the money to invest, but we thought we don't know anything about business, so maybe we should invest in this stuff, right?
You're right.
And so we learned things along the way, but what we found out was we wanted to always be able to give back because we didn't find a lot of people who gave to us when we started our business. So we were passionate not just about working with charities specifically, but also for always – we save some space in our business model. So the lady who's just starting, the Avon lady who's got $20 – and can't afford our coaching price of $100 an hour, we don't turn them away.
No. Well, that's good.
We don't talk about it because it's not important to talk about. But, you know, it's, you know, but on the other hand, we can't do 100 ladies at $20. You know, I mean, that'd go out of business.
I understand implicitly. I mean, I run a business. It's
right.
My business. And the reality is I have clients that just can't afford, although I'm so cheap it doesn't matter. You could fall
right
out the door.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I help them. So it's my way of paying forward.
You know, if you knew someone was going to,
if
you knew someone would be great as on a podcast, you might have them back more than once as a guest because then they could at least use that. Yeah. So formally, with charities that we've worked with, the last couple years, the main one we've worked with is Big Hearts Helping Hand, Arizona Secret Santa Program.
Hmm.
And that is not affiliated with any large charity that you would be aware of. This is very much a kitchen table, grassroots. Donate toys. There's specific lists. The kids write a letter to Santa, and so you get to see their letter to Santa, and then you buy a couple things on it. My kids in our house, I have 2 wonderful, most of the time, teenagers, and part of every dollar they earn has to go to donation. So I it's some percentage. I don't know, 10%.
Well, it's interesting because I want to ask you this. I had a guest in the other day on a show, on a Tucson Means Business show.
Yeah.
A lovely lady here that owns, her name is Cecily Uriza Fort, and she is the CEO and owner of Single Focus Web.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unusual company because they only deal in not-for-profits,
mm-hmm.
and she specializes in that. And some of the work they do is stunning in reference to on-air and building, designing sites. But of course, for a lot of it for fundraising is donation, you know,
right.
and e-commerce that way. How does a social media component tag to that? How do you help these non-for-profits
sure.
that you work with?
So 2 things. One, we literally adopt families in that every year. It's a family project. My kids part of all the money they earn is they have to allocate a certain amount to donation, and they can pick where they donate it. So we actually go out and buy the presents. How do we help with social media would be the page for that charity has, they get permission from the family. So they have a picture of Johnny, and they have Johnny's letter to Santa, and it says he'd like a scooter, he'd like some new sheets for his bed. He'd like it. One year, like a lot of kids asked for sheets. It was very, very humbling and kind of disheartening at the same time. You know, like you don't want the charity is very clear to the parents, like, you know, we're not giving you, you know, video game systems, and these donations, people are adopting your kid to buy the presents, and they're regular fabulous. Working families that are adopting. So, you know, and this year she's instituting, I think it's one thing to read, one thing to wear, one thing to play with. But how do you help on social media? So how we helped on social media was she had an abundance. 2 years ago, she had so many people ask for help that she didn't have enough people volunteering. So she needed people to volunteer. So how did we help with that? We were able to promote and share. You saw before you were saying, oh, we're partners with all these chambers of commerce. We're a legacy partner with Local First. So we went to Local First and I said, here's how it works. If you've got, you know, you want to give me $20, I mean, because people know, I mean, that I was actually going to buy the stuff. So they know me well enough. It wasn't like I was passing a hat. But it was like, hey, if you can either sponsor a kid, if you can buy the stuff, if you want to buy the stuff and meet me, if you want me to be your shopper, how do you want me to do this? Mm-hmm. And so I was able to leverage my reputation with organizations that we were in and show that we could be the legs and arms. So
how does the social media work with that? Do you tell stories?
Sure. We're showing the pictures. We're showing. So in other words, how you even find the kid to adopt is on her Facebook page.
Okay, so everything is traced. So that's interesting. That's very interesting.
And then ideally, she likes the families to take a picture of the kids with the item, and that also is a secondary point of verification that, hey, the kid really got it.
Yeah, right.
Right? Because there's scandalous people out there.
Oh, big time. Tell me about it.
Right?
Guess what? eWomen Network, you're a foundation sponsor. And partners with big hearts, as you said. Mm-hmm. eWomen Network now, how is that doing in town?
Oh, it's doing wonderful. They have a new managing director, Carol Johnson. We've been part, eWomen was the first professional organization we joined. So way back when we were selling purses and jewelry and Mary Kay, we found out about eWomen and we joined it. And the founder of eWomen grew up in Dayton, Ohio. So she would come to Ohio. So we got to meet the founder of this international networking organization, Sandra Yancey.
Sure.
So we've always stayed members of it. Pardon me. It's at different times, it served different purposes for us as a business, which I think is a great resource for an organization that you pay dues to, right? So sometimes it got us leads. Sometimes it got us professional development. Right now, it's a very nice for me once a month to take a moment and pause, have a lovely lunch, hear a speaker, raise a little money. So how we support the foundation is we regularly donate raffle prizes, and then we purchase raffle tickets. And so all of the money from the raffle goes to the foundation, which picks a national charity. And we also send a young woman entrepreneur from Tucson to the national convention of eWomen Network so that they can get the kind of sponsoring things we all collectively say we would have wanted if we were trying to be an entrepreneur in our 20s.
That's fantastic. Too Busy Gals was actually established in 2008, as we've discussed, in Ohio, moved to Arizona 2011. And it was established as a business-to-business service provider after multiple requests for assistance with social media that you mentioned before, people saying, look, you can do that, but can you help us do that?
Exactly.
Branding, marketing from, you know, peer business owners. Was that a good time, do you think, Jessica, for this industry to be understood? Or was it just a fledgling nothing in those days?
So early adopters, right? In technology, we talk about early adopters. That's when you go to the holidays are coming up, right? So that's at Thanksgiving.
We'll get a touch on that a bit later.
Oh, yeah. All right. But the early adopter will have the iPhone 11, right? They always, you go to the holidays, you go to the family reunion. Mm-hmm. They're the one that has the latest iPhone. Have the Apple Watch before anybody has the Apple Watch. They're on the list for the Tesla, right? They get the newest, the shiniest technology first, right? So in technology, we call those first adopters. And what first adopters do is they're sort of the trendsetters. And it doesn't matter. It's not always young people. I have a 77-year-old uncle who is an early adopter because he's been in tech forever, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean your age range. It's someone that's just tech savvy and wants the new thing.
Mm-hmm.
So those folks were already using social media at that point, right? Those businesses were using it. They were seeing the opportunity. They could see the writing on the wall. I think because we were out with small businesses, they were like, what do you mean you use that for business? We're like, well, we do this with it and we do that with it. And keep in mind, at the beginning, we're doing that all for free. Oh, could you come show me how to use it? Sure. Mm-hmm. You know? And then at a certain point, I went, why am I hawking lipsticks and bracelets? Mm-hmm. We should be selling this.
You should be explaining and being paid for it. Albeit,
exactly.
Even if you start small.
Right. Even if you start.
It's a service.
Exactly.
You know.
So, and that's when we went out and worked for those marketing companies for 3 years and got paid, you know, an hourly rate, sometimes a per client rate, sometimes a per word rate that you wrote. That was insane. God love my sister who wrote those blogs, but you got paid by word. And I was like, okay, this is nuts. We can't keep doing this.
Yeah, right.
You know, so that was crazy. She was great at it, but that was kind of a crazy time in the business. And so we've experienced a lot of that, right? We've experienced you're working on something and then they keep wanting as a contractor to make it lower, lower, lower.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, we've experienced all of that. But I can distinctly remember the exact moment when I first heard about Pinterest. I was in Washington, D.C. It would have been about 2009. Probably because I think I lived here already when I went there. And it was just sort of this idea that was just in beta and some people were getting invited to it. And everyone was like, do you think it'll last? Right?
Mm.
I remember before Instagram.
Like here comes another one.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, so how is this going to work? Why would people use this? What about this appeals to people? So I think if you go back to all the nonprofit life, you know, doing social advocacy, kind of social work type work. I mean, I was never a licensed social worker, full disclosure, but doing that kind of work, I was always curious about people. Why do people do what they do? Why do they choose this? Whatever the this is, why do they choose it? Like in a very existential kind of woo-woo space.
You would have been a good psychiatrist, actually.
Probably. I think I would have been good at
you
that.
I'll throw that in. All right.
All right. I mean,
your education was there. Just but you're doing it in life anyways.
Right. If you're going to do it in life, I should be billing for these hours.
That's
but
high,
exactly. But what I realized was people use social media. There's patterns. And we can see if you're a business. I just met a lady at luncheon today. Beautiful location. In fact, we should invite her for a show to talk. She's got stories, goo gobs of stories. But she was talking about her daughters have a product and they're trying to sell their product. She said, well, they want someone to take pictures of the product. Do you do that? And I thought, well, I hear what her pain point is, right? They want someone to just take pictures of their product. We don't know, but I mean, we don't take the pictures, but I've got 6 photographers I could have come take pictures.
Right.
What they really want is someone to promote their product. And so I sat there and said, well, what you're trying to do is build what we call social proof of product, which means I have this jar of pickles and I say this is my great grandmother's recipe and they're the best pickles in the world. And I want to sell it at Walmart and Costco, wherever, right? So maybe I start here and Rincon Market takes it. And maybe I start here and I sell it at farmers markets, right? And while I'm selling these great pickles, but I really want to get to Walmart or, you know, Kroger or Fry. I want to right? Like I can't just be schlepping these cases of pickles.
I know, but you
around.
And 100 others, you know, and they all want front shelf.
Exactly.
Back shelf if you've only got half a budget.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole thing to that, too. You get to pay. We're working with a company that distributes, you know, the person with grandma's pickles. They're the distributor that has the relationships. You want to go and give free product away for a day, you pay $500 for the privilege plus the product to give it away.
But I got to ask you this, all right? I'm just coming out of left field with this question, right? Seeing you touched on this, because I know another friend of mine, well, you know her, Jennifer.
Yes.
You know, working hard. She's producing her with a partner now. She's producing her own little... I mean, there are so many things out there. Can everybody make it? I mean,
I think you have to.
When does it stop? How many jams? How many this? How many that? You know?
Well, I think we have to decide, right? So you're never going to be Smuckers. You're never going to be Welches, right? You're just not. That's me. I'm very practical. Okay. A lot of people are like, you're just not. The days of becoming Tide is almost impossible, right?
Right.
The way when Tide became Tide, it wasn't like it is now. So the example I can give is there's a local gentleman. He owned a cookie manufacturing company. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to be, at the time when they were doing it, they were like Keebler, Nabisco, Acme. Yeah, I don't know what his company was called, right? But that's what he was trying to do, right? Like, he was like, I'm going to be the third brand. And then he realized, and this was 20 years ago,
yeah, right.
There's no space for that. You know where there was space for him to make a ton of money? He made a couple basic cookie recipes. But if you went into CVS and you bought the cookie, it said it was CVS brand. If you went into Walmart, it was Walmart brand. If you went into, right? So you kind of have to see where you fit. And I think just be realistic. This lotty-dotty, I'm going to be famous, the next famous person, and I'm going to have $1 million.
Please don't get me wrong. I'm all for somebody having a shot, have a go at your heart's passion, at your dream, at your goal. I just wonder this. How many sources can there be? How many jams can there be?
Right.
How many, and everybody's trying to flog them at the markets on a weekend. And yes, there was a wonderful show today, in fact, that Stephanie Rising.
Oh, yes. I was hungry.
She had a wonderful show on today with three fabulous ladies in the food business.
Doing awesome stuff.
Unique food business. And also, and, they're doing exceptionally well. But a lot of their comments are from visitors to Tucson. A lot of visitors, snowbirds, God knows what. And, this is lovely. We don't have this in Wisconsin.
Right.
We don't have this here or somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you could think on the face of it, there is room. Boy,
right.
If I could get my product over there, and this is where social media is. See, online there is no borders, right?
Online there's no borders. So while I'm running around with my cases of pickles, right, I want to get every one of those people. There are no pickles. My grandmother didn't have a pickle recipe. I just picked that as an example. Okay, so just to be clear, we have made pickles. Pickles, it doesn't come out as, you really have to pay attention to that recipe.
Oh,
you think it'd be
man.
Easy, but it's not. I mean, the process is easy, but the spicing isn't. At any rate, so I'm running around, I'm hawking all this stuff, and I think my brand looks good, right? And I've got this vintage picture of my grandmother in the farm, right? And I think the recipe is great, and I trademarked the recipe, right? And I'm copywriting what my brand looks like, and I've got all those ducks in a row. How am I going to use social media? How I'm going to use social media is when I'm sitting at that farmer's market, I either need an intern, a kid from college, a kid from high school, a neighbor kid, or my kid, with a smartphone while I'm hawking my, pickles, doing a Facebook Live interview with the person saying this is the best pickles they've ever ate, and they drive 30 miles to get these pickles and whatever else, right? Mm-hmm. I need to make sure it's easy.
All right, now I understand that. Hold it.
Yep.
Whoa, boy, come here. I understand that. And that would look fabulous. It's there. It's live. It's in the now. And
a
buyer has just said, wow, but you could have paid them. No one knows.
True.
But they could think that. But here's the deal. Now, I forgot what I was going to ask you.
Who sees it?
Who sees it, and who do you get it out to?
Well, here's the part that you have to decide what your end goal is. Is my end goal that I'm trying to sell 1 million jars of grandma's pickles at farmers markets and I need people to find me? Or am I trying to convince the retail buyer at Walmart, Costco, Kroger that these are the best damn pickles and they need to have them in their store?
Yes, but the only way they're going to have them in the store, and tell me if I'm wrong, is when enough people come in and ask them, are you stocking these? Because I love these, and I'm telling you, they're selling everywhere.
Mark, you're in 1950.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I'd do my job. I'd want to find out where I'd find this thing if it's so good that everybody's buying.
Yes, but here's what we think. Most of the stores don't even determine what gets put in the store. There's a very complex process where retail buyers in the corporate office have divisions and regions, and that retail buyer decides.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's all changed. I understand that.
Yeah.
You will put in the store what we tell you to put in the store, period.
And we will tell you what shelf it goes on in a planogram and what it looks like.
Yeah, right.
So how do I get that retail buyer to believe that I've got these great pickles? Well, they're not even going to meet with me to see a case of pickles unless I can show them social proof of product. Social proof of product is why you do tastings, you go out to these festivals, mm-hmm. why you sell stuff at the farmer's market, mm-hmm. because I want to have 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people on my page every day talking about how much they love these pickles. Not because that's not going to make Mary in Wisconsin. Mary in Wisconsin might find the pickles and she might not. Mm-hmm. But that only matters if I want to ship pickles to Wisconsin and pay for shipping.
There you go.
Right?
And then it's got to be worthwhile you're doing it.
Yes.
I get your point. It's a complex scenario, but we're going to touch a little bit more on that. If I was introducing you to somebody, okay, who's got a business, and I've said, listen, I use Ask the Gals, you've got to talk to these, well, two busy gals, you've got to talk to these guys, they're the best in the business, and, you know, they'll do everything. And he says, well, in effect, what does two busy gals allow me to do,
sure.
Jessica?
Sure. So we feel that we do one thing amazingly well. And it is help you craft content. So your content is what you write, the pictures, the video. We help you craft the content that links what you're doing on social media to what it is you're trying to sell. Is that a service? Is that a product? So it's more than, yes, could we come in and show a person how to post on Instagram every day? Of course, and show them how to step-by-step go through it. Most business owners don't need to be spending their precious time doing that every day.
Well, this is what I thought. I mean, I thought the priority was to where you're going to help me with my business by allowing me to get on with my business.
Right.
I haven't got time to sit here and play twiddly winks with all this jazz.
Exactly. But I can't help
no
you
offense,
get...
No offense, man. You know what I mean?
No. But I can't help you get on with your business if you can't clearly articulate who your customer is, mm-hmm. what your sales goal is, the product or service you're selling, and describe your ideal customers.
So once I've done all of that and we've worked that all out,
yep.
then you can go to town.
Yep.
And then I can get on with doing other stuff.
Exactly.
All right, because that's pretty important to a
and
lot
of we're going
to
drive, what should be happening is social media should be driving traffic to your website
yes.
or to a landing page or somewhere where you convert your lead into a hotter lead, mm-hmm. into closed business.
You're listening to Ask the Gals. It's a podcast dedicated to the industry of IT and social media and what it can do for you. It's been running nearly a year now, very successful, and a lot of listeners to the show, hosted by Jessica Badowski, and they're here in Tucson, Arizona, but with clients all over the place. And no matter where you hear this, you can always track her down. What was your inspiration or your reason for starting Two Busy Gals?
We talked a little bit.
You had a full-time gig,
yep.
I know, but, you know.
I also think I had reached a point where I was really tired of people I worked for or with questioning my pursuit of excellence as wanting to take their job.
Oh, yeah, the jealous bit.
Yeah.
And the non-worker.
And where you aren't even, you're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And they're like, you're so competitive. And I'm like, with who? Like, who am I competing? Not in an arrogant way. Like, I don't even know what you mean. Like, I'm the person, you know. So my sister, who's...
Welcome to my world, baby.
Right.
Hey, what's it like co-founding a business with your sister while we're
Well, I have a lot more gray hair than when we started, but maybe that's just because I've gotten older. I'll say this. She is a wonderful... I'm sure you've heard of it, Mark. There's a personality test, and lots of businesses have you take it. It's called DISC, and it's D-I-S-C. And I don't remember, but, you know, one's like you're intuitive, and one is like you sign the contract right away.
You know what pisses me off about these tests, to be honest with you? They're designed and created by professors that never worked a bloody day in their lives or gone out in the street or humped
sold
it or
a thing, right?
Sold a thing or done any damn thing because I did many
I'll
of those
tell
tests,
you this. I'll tell you this. If I have to haul my car around on Christmas Eve to gas stations and barber shops with wrapped gift bags for Christmas in my car and walk in cold to places we don't know people and sell stuff, I'd rather have nobody by my side than my sister.
Jessica, what's the oddest thing that ever happened to you that when you were managing a social media
my
account.
Gosh, yeah, this is hysterical. So there is a company, I don't even know if they're still in business. It was a restaurant chain back east. It was similar to like Costa Vida or Chipotle. It was called Salsarita. We don't have them out here. And it wasn't at a very large, it was a regional chain.
It sounds like a dance on Dancing with the Stars.
Right? But it was that similar kind of you go in an order and they put it together.
Okay.
So they decided to have So they were very popular. They had some locations on campuses where, so in olden days, you had to have cash when I went on campus. But right. now their ID, you can swipe and buy food. Like there's money on your ID and it mm-hmm. works to buy mm-hmm. food. Yeah. And so they were very popular. I guess they had these burritos. Okay. And so all these people would post and tag and be like, it was the best food to get after a night of binge drinking and getting high and stuff.
And all this jazz.
And so you couldn't really like repost that or engage with that content.
Yes,
I don't think it was just girls.
What about sliders? What about sliders? Didn't you enjoy those?
No.
Yeah?
No.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't personally doing this. This is what they were putting on social media.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
So anyways, we were having, so when you do social, when you craft a brand, you have a brand voice, right? So sometimes like the brand voice for you, Mark, is Mark Bishop, right? Like you're mm-hmm. the brand voice. Literally, you're the voice, mm-hmm. but you, it's very clear what the voice is. But sometimes if I sit down with the pickle company, it's like, is it grandma's voice? Are we writing like an old timey style? Is it I'm the new hip kid that wants to bring grandma's pickle recipe? Like who's the voice, okay. right? And you can always tell when companies, even big marketing companies with large budgets, are struggling with that, because you, if you watch a commercial, you read it, you're like, who are they targeting this to? Like who's talking to me, right?
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Right? So the funniest thing that happened with Salsarita was we so had created this, not ever giving the person a name or anything, but the brand voice was so strong that it regularly got asked out for dates. So they would message and be like, you sound really cool. We should get together and go out for a date. And my sister would turn and go, what is with these wackos? Like, what are they doing? I mean, it wasn't like it. What it wasn't like it. You know, it wasn't like Mr. Clean, right? Or the Brawny,
yeah, right?
There was no person. It was just the way the communication went, and it was so clear that they wanted a date. So I would say that's the oddest thing that ever happened. Wouldn't managing social media.
Have you ever worked with anyone famous?
So I suppose it depends what you consider famous. So we did work for a while with a client. She worked with Dr. Drew on Celebrity Rehab. She's a psychologist, and she works in the field of addiction, Sherry Gaba. And so we worked for a long time with her. She's another author that we've worked with a number of authors. And so we worked with her on social media. We worked with her on some curriculum development and sort of some other creating really heavy duty content creation, not just a post to go online.
Content's everything, isn't it?
Content is everything.
Mm-hmm. By the sounds of it. Well,
and you don't just have to create it yourself. If you're really good at curating content, so a lot of people have said, why don't we write trainings and blogs? And I said, well, everyone and their brother writes something about social media, right? I mean, from the big guys, Harvard Business Review, Inc., Fast Company,
right.
You know, Forbes, to Joe Blow down the street that wants you to come to his luncheon, right? Everybody's writing something. For me,
that's why they can't get jobs. Now, listen, seriously, there's software out now that just about eliminates having to do any of your own content. It does it all. That you know that, right?
Right.
It's getting right up there now. I mean, everything's just so easy, right?
Yeah.
I still can't work the stuff. Otherwise, I'd do more. But I, you know, I don't have that side brain.
The other thing is, it's not going to sound like you.
Well, there's stuff that supposedly is.
If they get that AI interface.
You couldn't tell the difference. How about that?
Well, I will say humanly, people can't tell the difference. We've managed brands where people thought it was the news anchor talking and it wasn't. And they thought it was her. No one ever knew that they outsourced it.
Artificial intelligence is around the corner.
Yes, but I'll be retired by then, so it's fine. I might be retired by next year.
Well, it's your 11th year in business now.
I know.
What trends have you seen over the last decade in social media? I mean, what were predictions that didn't come true? What was unexpected?
So you may have noticed recently Facebook's in a little trouble in the news for not being completely, shall we say, truthful with their data.
Well, they've made the money. If they were smart, they'd get in line right now.
Yeah.
They've made their money.
So about 2006, probably about 2006, we go to workshops, right? We go to stuff to keep up on trends, right? You know,
so all the time.
All the time, because then we break it down for business owners and we've got to keep on top of it.
Well, that's it. And that's what a lot of people don't understand about a small business, which you are.
Right.
Right? It's all very well having clients and all this jazz, but you've got to stay ahead of the game.
Absolutely.
And you've got to go to specific functions.
Yep.
You know, what do they call them these days?
Well, there's conferences, there's online events you have to go to, but it's because the because the platforms are always changing, you're in a constant rapid mode. I can't just keep making grandma's pickle recipe, right?
Oh, right, right. So you got to stay up with it no matter what.
I got to get the new thing, right? So,
And then when you've got to figure it out, when you do learn what's new, you've got to be able to figure it out how
yes.
to translate it into that specific business now.
Exactly.
After you've just maybe done last year. How often do you need, I know with a website, Cecily was saying, about every 3 to 4 years, you should really solidly update a website and stay on top of it. Now, what about social media?
Well, you're kind of forced, right? So partially, you want to look at trends change over time. So the one trend that I think did not come true, and I absolutely knew Facebook was lying about it, and I told people in our classes, I said, yeah. So everybody's like video, 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 video,
mm-hmm.
right? I do not care for how I look on video. I have a very expressive face. Apparently, that's wonderful in life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it looks like two caterpillars have crawled on my face mm-hmm. and are having some sort of convulsions mm-hmm. because I feel like my eyebrows are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm uncomfortable on video. And because I'm uncomfortable, then I feel like my message gets lost because I want to sit and keep my face very still. Like I want to go, I'm not a Botox girl, but if I was, my face wouldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wouldn't be talking to Jessica, right? Everybody's like, you know, I'm flamboyant. Like, even here, you guys can't see me, but my hands are moving everywhere as if you could see me.
Yeah, you've got to be you. I know that, but...
Right? So what I said to people was...
But the numbers are so prolific these days.
No, Facebook lied about them. The lawsuit came out.
No, but not just Facebook. Generically.
Yes.
In lots of platforms, it's proven that video increases enormous sales, for starters... openings to look at the darn thing on your email. I love video. I watch videos, right? Not necessarily where Jessica has to host the video.
Right.
You can use cartoons these days. You can use all sorts of jazz.
So here's what we tell people. So 2006, if you don't do video, your business is going to be dead. 2007, if you don't have video, your business is going to be dead. 2008, if you don't have video, your business is going to be dead. One, most of the platforms over-exaggerated the results from videos. How I knew that mm-hmm. was because we did videos. We did them.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew nobody was watching our video, but Facebook kept telling me hundreds of people were opening and viewing it.
But don't they have to have proof? Don't they have to show analytics?
Sure, but if you write the algorithm for the analytics, this was solved in a lawsuit. They just had a lawsuit where it turned my industry upside down because people who wrote content were fired and just complete divisions wiped out in advertising agencies where they brought in all these video people.
Okay.
And there's just recently been a lawsuit where it turned out the numbers were not accurate. That's not the main. I mean, I knew that when it was happening because I could just tell. I was like, no 500 people watched this video of this lady on her page. She has 50 followers. What 500 people? And they didn't sit and watch this.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell if you'd been in the industry that the numbers were inflated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My point is this. Some people would be horrific on a podcast, right? You've had them, I'm sure. You've mm-hmm. had guests where you're like, oh, don't let them talk too long.
I had 40 years in the game, too.
Right?
And I've interviewed a lot of people.
Yeah.
And believe me, you meet a lot of people like that. But it's a shame because you'd like to help them more.
You know?
I'd love to see them become better.
So here's what we know. If you're uncomfortable or it doesn't present your best side... It's not going to help your business.
Okay.
Now, you're right. You can do
this
cartoons.
This is the argument. This is what you're putting up, and I understand this.
Right. This has to be of value. Is this the way that do your customers watch video?
Mm-hmm.
Don't presume all your customer base watches video. So you need to know your customer demographic well enough. You need to do some A/B market testing to know, is my customer base a video customer base?
Well, I'm going through that right now because I'm an audio-based platform, right? And we go all over the place, and we've got terrific numbers now. Excellent numbers. Verified.
Crazy numbers.
I know. It's been marvelous since we've opened it for Tucson. But here's the deal. I've got a lot of people asking me to do video.
Sure.
And I say, okay, why? Because, we've got to have video. You've got to be out there on YouTube. You've got to be on Vimeo. You've got to be on this. You've got to be on that. And I think, God, I don't know which way to go now. So we're going to do some split testing here. We're going to work this out. I'm going to have some clients that are going to say, no thanks, and they're going to run a mile. I don't want video.
Right.
And I'm going to have other clients that say, I'd like to have video, you know. Okay, have you asked your clients who and your guests you're going to have on? That's another point.
Right.
Now, you know, it's just one of those things. You're not sure which way to go. But I'm a great believer of video. I got to tell you, I think it works.
Oh, I think it's a great tool. I just don't think it's a great tool for all businesses
for
and all business owners and all products.
Well, this is the thing. And this is where TV still hangs on a little. You know what I mean? They've got that opportunity to at least show a bit of video of what your product is.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, from that point of view.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this November episode of Ask the Gals was going to be you doing something special. You've got some special people coming up in the future.
We do.
On the show. And I'm going to tell you something very nice, which is nice.
About me?
About your business.
Oh, okay.
Which is you.
I like nice things about me. Okay.
And your team. Here's the deal. I was visiting somewhere the other day, one of my sponsors. We were having a cup of coffee together, and I was, surprisingly, at the bar having a cup of coffee. And this guy said to me,
I need video.
Hey, Mark, how you doing? I said, oh, good, Jack. What's your name? He said, gee, I love that show you got on your channel there. I said, well, which one? We got a lot.
Right, we have a lot. There's a lot here.
The one my daughter, she listens to it. She learns. Oh, the one with the gals who teach all that social media jazz.
Yes.
Yes, of course. You mean Jessica and the team with Ask the Gals. He said, she absolutely loves the show because she's learning from it.
Absolutely.
I said, well, what a thing. Because we used to do on the old KVOI days, if you remember.
Yeah.
We do some testing and stuff like that. And you can do this. So I think if you can teach more, you know, on your podcast as well.
Absolutely.
I think it's going to really, pull in a lot more listeners as well. Because
we just want to have a really good mix, too, of interesting guests.
Well,
so,
you do.
Yeah. And then kind of how are they using social media and then talking about it. So
I got to tell you, Jessica, me, like a lot of guys, were hopeless in certain areas of that. It's very frustrating to be in a small business. You don't have a lot of staff. You're watching your overheads. You're trying to get ahead. You're watching your overheads as it is. And you know darn well you need social media and you need it to be excellent for your small business. And I tell you, it's extremely frustrating. I was lucky to find you. I was extremely lucky to find you. People have to really do their research and understand what they want.
Yeah.
Somebody like you has got to understand what they're saying.
Sure.
Because I speak to guys, I say, you know what, I tried to tell them and it sort of went in one ear and out the other. And they looked at me with this blank face look, you know. So I don't know what to do. So I think if anybody's listening now and you really want some support, you know, get to Jessica. How can they contact you? What's the best way?
So the easiest way is, the good news is our name, Too Busy Gals, T-O-O, Busy Gals. If you type that in any search engine, the whole first page, it's going to be our website. It's going to be Facebook. It's going to be LinkedIn. Everything is at Too Busy Gals or /Too Busy Gals. So it's very easy to find us.
What's a backslash?
Well, I'll give you a really funny story. I have a really funny story for you. I don't think I've ever told you, but you cannot use it against me.
All righty.
Okay. So when we first started,
I would never use anything against you, Michael. It'd kill me.
Yes. Well, but this goes back to your countrymen. So you'll appreciate this.
All right.
Okay. So when we first started, of course, if you type in the website or the URL, it's Too Busy Gals. It's a unique name. So we should come up first, right? But we weren't anywhere else yet. You know, we were kind of just starting 11 years ago. So the second thing that came up was a website called Too Busty Gals.
Well, I was going to say Too Busy Gals could be a couple of hookers too. You never know.
Thanks. So Too Busty Gals came second. Too Busty Gals comes second, right?
Really?
Yes.
Holy stone the crows, really?
Right. So we all now know if Mark was looking up Too Busy Gals, he would skip right by our website and click on Too Busty Gals.
Not interested in that one, mate. I'm a leg man. Go on.
But you would have been highly disappointed because it actually was two ladies who craft that were from Australia and that was their ribald language. Because I was like, why would they call it Too Busty Gals? And then someone said, Aussies, they're like much more ribald. You Americans are so fussy and everything's so prudish. They're like, you act crazy, but you're prudish with your language. And so they knitted crocheted.
The Americans, that's a fallacy to me, because you do a lot more behind doors than people know about anywhere else in the darn world, to be honest with you, and yet you are prudish.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't say, we're just Aussies, just, we're straight down the line. We say what we feel, you know.
So it was they crocheted or they knitted. It was something very innocuous. It was like crafty ladies, and I don't know if they were buxom or not. Maybe they just, you know, it was like the, if you recall years ago, if you watched British TV, there were those two fat ladies that cooked, and I mean, they were large women, and they, you know.
And that was a number one rating show, by the way.
Wow, their food was good.
Yes.
But, so anyways.
Not as bad as the ones in Sweden. They do the weather in the nutty. Can you imagine that?
No, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
I don't need to see all that.
I want to know about the weather. I don't want to be looking at naked women running across the stage.
No, that's unacceptable.
And what do you do with your kids? You have to pull their hands over their eyes all the time?
I don't know.
Go to bed, quick, quick. The news is coming up, or the weather's coming up. It's only 6 o'clock, for God's sake.
So that's where we realized we could control our brand by being more places. So the more social media platforms. So remember, we're doing this all earned organic. We're not paying for Google words. We're not paying anywhere. Mm-hmm. We started a blog. We posted every day on the blog. We commented on people's blogs. Mm-hmm. We made social media platforms. Every single platform we could put Two Busy Gals, we did. And we were active. Well, guess what happens? Then the search engine, when you put in Two Busy Gals, we were like the first 7 pages on Google. Mm-hmm. Every single thing.
It's the same with Business Radio X as well.
Right.
We work
right
out at that. Now, look, if business owners, I don't know, if there was one new thing,
mm-hmm.
okay, for a business owner before the end of the year that you would hang your hat on, as we say, what would you advise them to implement before the end of the year?
Before the end of the year. I would advise business owners to critically look at what they've done the first 3 quarters of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So really give yourself, even though this is the crazy time, I mean, this is a lot of businesses make their entire profit in the fourth quarter, right? Like fourth quarter is what gets them through the first 6 months of the year, and then they eke out, you know, there's a lot of businesses. So I would say look at what you've done and look at your customers. And you've got to commit to one new thing during this season. So if you're not on Instagram, one new thing. If you're not on Instagram, get on Instagram. If you haven't explored TikTok, look at TikTok.
What?
I know there's a new one, Mark.
You're kidding.
No.
I'm just trying to get used to the others I'm wrapping my brains around.
I know.
TikTok.
Yes. Well, maybe you'll be lucky and they'll decide it is a risk to national security because someone decided, hey, this company is owned in China, as if there's no other online companies owned in China. So it's a social media platform where you post short form video.
I think I did see something about that.
And I feel like if you watch over 5 minutes of it, you have to go like read Shakespeare or listen to NPR or something to replace the brain cells you'll be sure you lost while you were there.
Okay. word is out that YouTube has overtaken Facebook. What's your take on that?
So Facebook is going to continue to have trouble with a certain sector of the population. Because of their business model, right?
The one thing it's wonderful for is people staying in touch, isn't it?
Absolutely.
All around the world, friends,
contacts.
Absolutely. What did we ever do before that? A letter took how long? God knows what. Phone bills were too high.
I don't think I would have any knowledge of most of the people I went to high school with if it weren't for Facebook.
Yeah, it's amazing. We'd catch up with that.
So I think it's never going to go anywhere. I mean, there's always, like, there's a larger portion that's saying we're not going to use it.
Mm, but from a point of view of spending your media budget for marketing as a small business, and you're trying to grow, am I going to put my money now on Facebook or am I going to look elsewhere?
Well, we're not big proponents of putting your money anywhere. In other words, I say invest. If you don't have time to write content and have someone manage it, you invest your money in paying someone to do that, whether that's an intern, whether you go to the library and take free classes, whether you hire us. There, you have a dozen options in town. I've never been a big proponent of paying for the ads on particular platforms. It can be successful. Most people don't have the budget for it.
You don't.
The people I know who
you've got to compete with these massive corporations.
The people in my industry that are doing ads,
mm-hmm.
they're doing $100,000, $200,000 worth of ad buys a year on Facebook on one platform.
Oh my God.
For a couple companies.
Yeah.
Right? So if I'm Jane and
what would they be making on that? The old traditional 17% for the agency type thing? Do they get paid that much to do placement of ads for Facebook?
They may.
That's
they
a
may.
Lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's maybe not that much.
It might not be that much, but yeah, you know, they have contracts. They write the ads. They do the ads. For most small, if you're under $300,000 a year, right. There's to me that's just throwing money out the window.
What do we see on deck for 2020 for businesses and digital marketing, Jessica Podowski?
What are we seeing on 2020? If your customer is under 35, you've just got to be on, you've got to get that. You can't be screwing around anymore and not have an Instagram platform.
All right. So under 35, Instagram.
You've got to be on Instagram.
And that's short videos to the point, right?
Video. It can be video or a photograph.
It could be still.
Yes.
So the message is on the stills. And
yes.
How long does it last? 5 seconds, what?
No, you're thinking of Snapchat. No, on Instagram,
sorry.
It's there.
It stays there.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The story is for the day.
So you've got to be creative.
You've got to be creative, or you got to find people who are creative.
Mm-hmm. That's with that one. What?
The other thing I'm going to say again is you've got to go look at TikTok and see if that is going to overlap. TikTok, so when we talk about video influencers, TikTok is rapidly encroaching on the influencers on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kid that everybody wants to see, the kid, and Mountain Dew pays him to drink a Mountain Dew because he has 2 million followers because he plays video games or his skateboard jumps in front of cars or, you know.
Yeah, this sort of thing.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. All right.
Yep.
So,
I think, and the other thing we always tell people is social media is not a comprehensive answer. Social media is part of a marketing strategy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, I'm a great believer of that. It's not the end all and be all.
Right?
No, it's
part of a marketing strategy, but you still got to, whatever it is for you, that's the door knocking, the belly to belly, the meeting people, traditional podcasting, traditional radio, traditional TV, mm-hmm. traditional newspaper. You know, if you want, like if you're in Green Valley and you want to connect with their market in Green Valley, you better be taking ads out in the paper. Because it's a 60-plus community, and they still read papers.
Yeah, you still got to look at all that jazz. It's
absolutely.
Like having a mix of everything just about. If they want to contact you, the easiest way I still think these days is a website because 2 in the morning I might want to be in my podgies and I want to check out this Two Busy Gals business. So www.2TOOBusyGals, all one sentence.com. LinkedIn, the jazz was linkedin.com/2BusyGals. And the Twitter URL, tweet, that was www.twitter.com/2BusyGals. TikTok.
We have an account on TikTok.
You do already?
We haven't posted anything on it, but we have an account.
TikTok, the wall is dark.
Yeah. What are pudgies? Pajamas?
Yeah, pajamas.
Pudgies?
Podgies.
Podgies?
Podgies.
Yeah. So you learn something. You listen and Mark Bishop's hosting. You're going to learn a new Aussie word.
Facebook. Oh, my God. .com/2BusyGals.
Yep. It's two busy gals everywhere.
Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. /com. How does that work? WW Instagram.
Oh, that's a typo.
I was going to say two busy gals.
A typo.
How dare you? Listen, you're wonderful. I think you're marvelous. I think you're terrific.
I like you too, Mark.
I think you're fabulous. And it's a credit to you, really. I mean, you're a very sick girl. No one knows about it. And you work so hard.
I don't talk very much about it.
And you don't talk much about it. And you just do your thing and you help others. And I think you're like me. We get a real buzz when we see one of our clients succeed.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most thrilling
experience. Are you kidding me? It's awesome.
You know. And I've got some clients who are doing so well at the moment, having their own show and guests coming into the studio that they're doing. And one of them has done so well with her show that she's been able to purchase 2 other agencies.
Nice.
In a very hard industry in the 6 months she's been doing it. So there you go. Jessica Podowski, thank you so much for allowing me to be host on your show.
So, thank you. I think, you know, we just answers a lot of questions, and if people want to know more, and that's, you know, just here's another piece of our marketing strategy. We have a podcast, and if people want to know more about us, and they're mm-hmm. like, go to episode 12, and you'll find out how we started and everything about us.
And that's exactly right. And when I get this produced and done correctly, it'll be sent to you via link.
Absolutely.
Of which you will do what with it?
Oh, we will share. We put it on our business page on LinkedIn, my personal page on LinkedIn. I have a public profile, a Two Busy Gals profile, and a personal profile on Facebook, all 3. We have business profiles on Instagram, and you can even put an image with a link on Pinterest.
There you go. And you could too, www.TucsonBusinessRadioX.com. What's the X for, Mark? Well, that's all the extra stuff you get. Social media, all sorts of giggles. Talk to me about it. Let's find out if we can help you with your business. In the interim, Two Busy Gals will be back next month, hosted by Jessica Badowski, with a wonderful show lined up of special guests. Thanks, Jessica. Good luck.
Thanks, Mark.